I'm Amos, host of Undaunted, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Starting off episode 121 of Better Podcasting, we talk about being good party pod guests.
In this week's Better Podcasting Download, we start our annual soiree with podcast consumer statistics from IAB and what they mean for you as a hobbyist.
And finally, in this week's Better Pod Back, we dance around some poles and dive into the deep end of the pool with some lengthy feedback.
Not that type of pool, SP. No. Lauren, go!
Welcome to Better Podcasting, a show where we talk about podcast tips, tools, and best practices to help you succeed with your podcast. What makes us different? Well, just like you, we podcast purely out of the love and fun of it. Podcasting is our hobby, and we recognize that it's yours too. We always encourage your questions and feedback, and you can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. Here's your host for the show, Stephen John Drew, and Stargate Pioneer.
Welcome to episode 121 of Better Podcasting. I am the L in L12, Stephen John Drew, and with me, of course, is the man who puts the voice in Electrovoice, SP.
It is good to have my RE320 made by Electrovoice back in the saddle again. I feel at home, and it's all great. For those that don't understand what happened, go back to episode number 120. I actually used both microphones for the entire podcast. I recorded both the Rode Procaster and the Electrovoice RE320 and finally made my decision to stick with the Electrovoice RE320, which is back in the saddle. It's on the microphone boom arm right now. It feels like coming home. I'm glad to have it. By the way, that is episode number 120 of Better Podcasting, basic podcast component considerations.
Reunited, and it feels so good, doesn't it, SP?
It certainly does. It is always great to be reunited, just like us. We're reunited on this episode of Better Podcasting. We have all the great podcasting tips and tricks for the hobby podcaster, and we've got 120 episodes behind us talking about all the great things that a hobby podcaster might need to know, and we've got, 120 plus episodes in the future planned, and we actually start off every show, and one of the things that we ask for is a how I save my podcast story. Stephen, what is that all about?
A how I save my podcast story is you taking control of this show, or it's us being lazy and asking you to run the show. What we want you to do is tell us how exactly have you saved your podcast. If you've had something go wrong with your show, let's do a little communal learning here and have you send to us your story about how you fixed it. It could have been something that was very difficult. It could have been something simple. Just please let us know, how exactly did you save your podcast? Please do that by either tweeting us at BetterPod, go ahead and find us at facebook.com/betterpodcasting, or send us an audio or video clip to podcast@betterpodcasting.com. Let us know, how exactly did you save your podcast? So please get in touch with us there. Now, before we go on to our fun topic that we've got today, I want to just give a special shout out to the wonderful Heather Welsh. For those of you who are not watching us live at www.geeks.live, today we are recording this on Friday, a different day than usual, Friday, March the 9th, 2018. And SP and I just wrapped up Heather Welsh, who we've talked about before on the show, her invitation for us to come on and do this year's Sunshine Summit. So absolutely, it was an honor to be on there. Heather's got a lot of great talent coming through the Sunshine Summit, and absolutely, we appreciate the invite that you extended to us and that you actually let us go through, because let's be honest, anybody else would have shut down that stream after 5 minutes with SP and I, but you let us go through.
I don't think I would have lasted 5 minutes if I was having both of us on, but it was great to both be invited to the same show. You know, oftentimes you're invited to a show or I'm invited to a show. Both of us were invited to be on the show with Heather. That woman is going places. She's only been podcasting for 7 months, and she put together a week of podcasts, getting together, talking about collaboration within the pod space and just right around the pod space. It's amazing. Pay attention to Heather Welsh. She hosts the Sunshine and Power Cuts podcast. I'm really interested in it because not only is it talking about the technology, but she's also talking about the real life applications about living off the grid. It's an amazing show. She's doing amazing things. Watch out for what happens out of Heather Welsh. I am honored to be part of that community, to be a part of her show, and to be a part of her summit. And we were the main headliners that opened it. We didn't actually open it, but we were the main headliners that opened it on day one. So thank you very much, Heather.
And also, this event goes until March 16th. So if you're listening to us after the live feed, like once we posted it, you still got a few days. So please do check out Heather on Twitter at SunPowerPod. You can definitely find all the information. And also give her a special kudos for taking on something so ambitious so soon. It is your podcasting duty. As a fellow podcaster, you have an obligation to go over right now to twitter.com/@SunPowerPod and tweet her and say, good job. It is ambitious and you deserve a pat on the back. So let's go ahead and talk a little bit about being a guest on a show. It's very timely. So funny enough, Heather's Sunshine Summit is absolutely all about connections. And as a podcaster, you have probably made some connections. Podcasting is a very tight community, and this means that the odds are at least once in your life, you will end up being a guest on somebody's show. Now, we've talked a little bit about the opposite side of things, how to have guests onto your show, but we wanted to take a moment today to talk a little bit about how you can prepare to be a guest on somebody else's show. Now, yes, there's a couple of things in here we've briefly touched on before, but we've been asked by listeners before about this very thing. So we thought, time for a dedicated episode and let's get her done and talk about it. And yeah, SP and I disregarded all of this when we did the Sunshine Summit.
It was great to just grip it and rip it, right, Steven?
But yes, we're going to talk a little bit about what you can do to be a good guest on a podcast, because you are representing your podcast essentially when you guest on somebody else's.
You're representing your podcast, you're representing your brand, you're representing yourself. So might as well put your best foot forward, because you never know what that's going to lead to. So first, even before you attend the podcast in question, there's a lot of prep work that you should do. There's technical details. These are the boring things that nobody really likes to talk about, but you have to talk about, because if you don't get these straight, you're not actually going to record the podcast. So how are you going to connect with them? Is there any additional software that you need to install? There's been a few programs that we've used before in the past while we're on somebody else's show that we've actually had to install new protocol, communication protocol, software programs on our PCs. So if you have to do that, make sure you do it in advance and not like the day of. And it could be how you connect. It could be an organizational tool such as Slack or Trello or something that you're not familiar with using, but the person who's actually producing the podcast uses it for their workflow and they want you involved in the show prep or the show notes. So something like that, you'd have to install and get into that as soon as you can to make sure that you are prepared for your guest appearance. And also this simple stuff, like, are you supposed to record your own track? Are you supposed to record your own video? Is it going to be video or audio? All this sort of stuff. It's the technical details. It's dull. Sometimes it can be fun if you're into it, but it's usually the dull stuff. It's not the fun stuff of actually recording the podcast, but it's stuff that you need to have in place before you start. And another thing is, do they have an expectation for you? Like, I have an expectation for Steven every week to charge his batteries before he starts the show so he doesn't run out of batteries during the show.
Yeah, because I'm a robot. That's the joke there. By the way, that's an inside joke. That's what you should not do on your show. But no, I am a robot, and so I charge my batteries. But you not as a robot, you may end up actually having to bring like a news point or something like that to the show. So absolutely, do they have an expectation? That's a great point. Another thing you should consider is, do you actually know the show itself? And if not, you should research it. There's a few different reasons that you should research that, right, SP?
Yeah, first of all, is it a show that you would fit on, or is it completely out of what you would want your brand associated with it? So before saying yes, you should research the other show and make sure that is something that you want to be associated with or that you would fit on, because maybe it's a great show, but you're like, I can't perform at that level. I don't want to be myself on that show and fail. And you should always be yourself on a podcast, by the way. Don't try to be somebody else. So be yourself. And if yourself isn't going to fit on that show, then maybe you shouldn't be on it. And then something else, is it going to conflict with something in your life? Like, is it something regarding maybe something that you're involved in work that you really can't talk about during a variety of different reasons, maybe legal, maybe it's just because you don't want to associate yourself with work. So make sure it doesn't conflict with what you're going to be doing outside of your podcast life. And is it something that you don't want to be associated with? Maybe you're a religious person and you don't want to be associated with swearing, yet the podcast that you're going on is an explicit podcast. This is something that you have to make sure that you know before you say yes, because if you say yes and it turns into an F-bomb every 3 seconds and you want to make sure that you are a clean podcaster, yes, you could be clean on that show, but all around you is going to be not suitable for work content. And that might be a conflict with any audience that you bring over with you. So it's something that you need to pay attention to. Also, it helps you prepare for the tone of the show. If you want to be part of the show, then you have to make sure that you fit in with the tone of the show. Maybe it's more jovial than your normal show, or maybe it's more cerebral and not joking at all. So you might want to know where that line is on what the tone of the show is, so that you don't come in and be that oddball of like, who is this guy? What is he doing? So you want to make sure that you present yourself as yourself, but as somebody that the audience of the show would want to listen to. And remember, you can filter yourself, but the other host might not be able to. So just make sure that you are clear on language, content, and everything about the show before you go on.
Now, let's be objective for a moment. Yes, you've been invited onto a show. It's an honor. You're very happy that you were invited, but objectively, are you qualified or are you the right fit for the intention of the show? You need to ask yourself that question. For example, there's been a couple of times that SP and I have both individually and together been invited on some shows, and we didn't feel that in these cases that we were the right fit for that, so we declined. We objectively said, yeah, that's not going to really be what you want, and we're not qualified to do that. So you need to think about it. Are you the right fit? Because again, you're going on to the show, you're presenting your brand, and if you come off as a real schmuck, that's not going to look very good, and it's not good for you or your podcast. As well, if you do end up declining, you need to think a little bit about how you're going to do that. The last thing that you want to do is burn the bridge. I would suggest that when you decline, you explain a little bit of the reason behind it, because they might have you in mind for a different idea when you say, well, I don't think I'm really qualified to talk about subject A. And they might go, hey, what about subject C? So absolutely be a little bit informative and be a bit transparent when you decline.
For the record, of all the podcasts that I've asked to be guests on, I have declined less than 10%, probably less than 5%. The people that have asked me to be on their show. So it doesn't happen very often for me. I'm usually a very versatile host, but that's just me. You might not be. So just pay attention and state your reasons why you have to decline, because I have declined before and it really sucks, because I'm like, oh man, I love podcasting. I'm like, I want to be on everybody's show, but it's just not possible. There's not enough time, and quite frankly, I'm not the right fit for every podcast. So just pay attention to that. So while you're preparing for the show, prepare notes. So it definitely, if it's appropriate, be prepared and have something written. I usually write like my normal show notes, like on a Google Doc or something like that. But if I'm going to be on the road, and this has happened to me before, if I'm on the road and I'm preparing to be on somebody else's show, I will actually take pen and paper and write down notes on what I want to actually say or prepare for the audience of the show that I'm about to be on. So if you're doing a podcast, for example, on some sort of media, like a book or a movie or a TV show, you'll want to take notes on that specific media just to make sure you're okay with the content. Make sure you don't forget anything. There's going to be some highlights that you want to talk about. And if you do not have those notes in front of you, you're going to like forget the most important thing. And people are going to think this guy doesn't know anything about the subject matter that you're talking about. It doesn't have to be media. It could be, I don't know. It could be drones, could be cars, could be horses. I don't know. Sailboats, could be anything. And if you don't have those highlights of those number one things that you want to talk about, you might not remember to talk about it. So bring those notes.
I'll give an example of that. For me, I don't currently do a show that covers any form of like TV review or anything like that. But from time to time, I've been on the Starling Tribune or I've been on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., both of which center around TV shows on the Gonna Geek Network. And when I do that, when I watch the episode for that week, I create notes. I'm not creating notes on a weekly basis as I watch these shows, but when I am going to be on the show for that week, I make sure to create notes because the last thing that I want is for them to go, hey, Stephen, what did you think about this part in the show? And you go, I must have fallen asleep. I have no idea. So that's an example on how I adapt my usual viewership of those shows for when I'm going to be a guest on one of those podcasts.
Another thing that this comes in handy for is you have researched a particular article or a particular bit of information that you want to point back to. You want to be able to name the source, name the date of the source, name where to get the source, what website is it, what publication it's part of, or where you've researched it from, what database it comes from. And that is important to note to give to your credibility. You can say, I found this piece of information in this database, and you can find the same information at that database as well. And you might find a bunch of other things as well. So you might be opening the door to the listeners of the podcast for that particular subject matter to an information source that they might not have been aware of before you were on the show. So that is the great thing about being on guests, is it brings in information that's outside the sphere of the normal host. So keep that in mind, that you are bringing valuable content to the listener because you're different than the main host. Now, it is important as you go into the actual recording time to make sure that you clear your schedule. So don't think that you can run home from dinner, get on board, and make sure everything works within 2 minutes of the show actually starting. Clear some time before and after. You don't know if it's going to run long. You don't know how much trouble you're going to have in actually connecting. This has happened less and less to Stephen and I as we've gone forward. But in the past, connecting itself has taken an enormous amount of time just to make sure that the video or audio or both works good. So this is stuff that you have to make sure that you've cleared your schedule for. And then also make sure that you've cleared your personal schedule. Make sure that somebody's watching the kids, that you don't have to run out of the room like six times or have your kid actually run into the room. If your kids are part of your podcast, that's one thing. But generally, you want to make sure that you're not interrupted by family members. So you do the same things that you would want to do on your podcast. And you say, daddy or mommy's recording. Make sure that you don't bug me for X amount of time. Or maybe it's the dog barking that needs to go outside, so let the dog out beforehand. Or maybe you're baking brownies and you forgot and you don't want the brownies to burn up because brownies are precious. The chocolatey goodness, the fudge, you have to make sure that that is savored. So make sure you're not baking brownies right before you go on the podcast, or even changing laundry, because the laundry buzzer or music or whatever it is these days can really mess with recording. So just make sure that you're not having to change the laundry while you're doing. So clear your life for the time being that you are guesting on the show.
Also, keep in mind, your space might be different than from where you usually record. SP just listed a bunch of factors that could stop you from being able to actually participate in the show. If you usually record your show at night, once everybody's gone to bed, well, odds are that the people having you on aren't going to be recording around your schedule. So think about those things. Is there going to be a factor that is different? Oh, I forgot. We're recording right at the time that the train usually comes through, which is why I wait until the middle of the night to record. So you want to be aware of those sort of things. What elements have changed from your usual environment? Also, you want to make sure that you ask questions about the audience. If they have specifics, that's great, but it's not your show, so ultimately you have to live with what they decide to share with you. Now, the reason why it's important to ask about the audience is because this will help you shape your tone and your direction on what you're going to say on the show. If you know that the audience is a certain type of listener, you can adapt a little bit to fit better with them on that show as opposed to how you might usually treat yourself on your own program.
Might be nice to know what the audience size is, so ask for how many downloads per show that they get. You might not always get this because podcasters are increasingly precious and guarded of their numbers, but this is something that might affect how you prepare, because a podcast with an audience of 200, it might be nice for you just to go on and share your knowledge, but a podcast with 200,000 downloads, you want to be on your A game for that. So it just might impact how you actually prepare. And then what is the target audience for the show? What's the age? What's the gender? And this is most important. What are they interested in to make sure that you fit your knowledge to what the interest is? So basically the avatar for the normal listener of the podcast, those are the questions that you're trying to get to. And have there been questions to their show that you're guesting on that you might be able to answer that they haven't been able to answer yet? So these are all great questions to ask of the hosts that are asking you to guest. They might not have answers to these or might not want to share answers to some of these. I mean, they should be able to share the audience, but the downloads and the questions might or might not. But if you can get these and be prepared more for your appearance on their show, the better information, the more intriguing content you're going to be able to exude to their audience, and the better you're going to seem as a guest, and the better your brand or yourself is going to be respected and when the podcast is actually produced and released.
And by the way, SP, the reason that he asks all these questions ahead of time is because then he can just go and analyze the data and target what their audience is and then try to lift that audience and bring them over to his show. He actually does that. He does the research so that he can pinpoint the individuals and steal your audience. So don't invite SP on. He's just going to take your audience.
Yeah, and then I'll follow them around with my drones.
Yeah.
And then you'll have to deal with the drone stalker, SP.
Yeah.
No. That's not true at all.
So once you've actually prepared to be on the show, now you're going to record the show, and there's a whole bunch of things you want to consider when you're recording the show. For one, don't take a page from SP's book. What you want to do instead is be polite and courteous. So make sure when you come on the show, you're polite and courteous. Ask yourself, what would SP not do?
Yeah, usually I'm very demanding, and I really require things to be a certain way. No, that I don't know what you're saying. Really, Stephen, do I really appear that way? Anyway, what you wanted to is remember that the show that you're going on is not your show. And since it's not your show, you lost some entitlements on hosting and you are the guest. So you have to remember that when you're on somebody else's show, that you have to act differently. Like, you're not the main show host. You're not controlling the content. Yes, you can control content through your answers, but if the show has a certain tempo to it, if it has to move from segment to segment, then you have to rely on the actual producer to take that show where it needs to go. And don't plug yourself all the time. Yeah, if you want to plug because it's a great example, or maybe you're being asked to plug, yeah, but don't just go out of the bat and say, I'm so-and-so from this website and I have these products available and come buy my stuff and follow me on Twitter and friend me on Facebook and follow me on Instagram and thumbs up all my videos on YouTube. Who cares? Who are you? What value do you have to me? If you haven't done any of that to begin with, that's great. And the actual producer of the podcast should actually prepare all that stuff or ask you to plug at some point during the show. Usually it's at the end. So these are all stuff that you have to take into consideration. It is not your show. Let the other person drive and let them take the show where it needs to go.
Also, make sure that you are prepared to introduce yourself, even though you don't want to be Plug City. You don't want to come off as someone who doesn't even know how to talk about themselves if that opportunity does come up. the host will usually introduce you, but you don't really know what extent they're going to do. So you should be prepared to talk about a lot or a little bit. And this is something that I've seen it handled two different ways. I've seen people go, all right, we got SP on the show. SP, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself? And then we've got people go, we've got SP on the show. He is from the Better Podcasting Podcast. Each week they talk about the latest in podcasting and they try to tailor it a little bit towards the hobby show. And then they end up going on a 5-minute tangent about you. And then they say, so SP, anything you want to add to that? So you want to be prepared to talk about yourself and be dynamic enough to know, should you keep going with a lot or should you just go with a little?
Have you ever heard of having an elevator speech? So you have 30 seconds, 45 seconds, 60 seconds in order to talk to somebody that you run into that might be influential for you. And they're asking you what you have in your business, in your hobby or whatever, what are you interested in? Make sure you have that ready for when you're introducing yourself to the show. And if you don't have that elevator speech handy, you might want to rehearse it because it's going to happen. But remember, be dynamic. Like Steven said, don't make sure you don't just wrote it off every single time, because if they ask you a question a slightly different way, you might not want to give that rote 30-second elevator speech. Be dynamic with it and make sure you're answering what they're asking you. Don't go off in a different tangent. You love when you ask somebody a question and they answer it, but they answer a completely another question. It's like, no, that's not what I was asking. I was asking this. But maybe that answer takes you off into a different location and then you never get back to the original question. Yeah, that is the sort of dynamic that you need to go back and forth. So make sure you're listening to what is being asked as well as you presenting what is being asked. So it's really up to you to control the content as you're being asked. But at the same time, the host has a certain way that they want to go and make sure that you're following them in what they are presenting to their audience, because it's their audience. They know what their audience is interested in or should, and you might not. So
absolutely, which is why we also encourage you to follow their lead through the entire recording. There's probably some things that you're going to be in during that recording you need to do differently on your show. Don't try to put the square peg in the round hole. It's not going to work. This is their show. You are on their podcast. And I'll give you an example of that. Some people really prefer to get the guests introduced and plugged up front. And you might be one of those people, but you come in and they're going to save you for the end. Don't try to plug yourself up front. Just know that you're following their lead on the show. There's going to be times where they're going to give you that ball and they're going to allow you to run whatever direction you want to run with it. But there's going to be times that you have to really just know that this is their show and I'm taking their lead. You want to also pay attention to the clues that they might be giving you. There's often a lot of subtle clues, right, SP?
There, you're going to be out of your element and you're not going to be aware of what is actually like. It might be routine in your show, but this is a completely different show. So your intuition is going to be off of your normal recording. So make sure that you're listening, or as my French teacher always said, écoutez, écoutez, which is French for listen up, and yelling like that. It's like, listen up and pay attention, listen. Shut off all your distractions. Don't have that Facebook window open. Don't have that chat window open with your friend who you're going out with later that night. Make sure you're focusing on the conversation at hand, especially if it's a video show. People can tell when you're not paying attention. Now, you might be researching something, granted, but if you're talking to somebody else or if you've got your feet up on the microphone table next to you, people are going to notice that you are not engaged at all. And it's like, why are you even here? And that's what I ask myself with Steven all the time when he's taking selfies, taking pictures, leaning back and showing off the fact that he has IEMs in his ears because the cord is down his back and he's got the back to the camera. Yeah, don't do any of that. Make sure you're fully engaged and you give your attention to the host, because the host is the surrogate for the audience. And if you're not giving the host the attention, you're not giving the audience the attention, and they will know.
Also, when you are on the show and you're listening for these subtle things and whatnot, a great example that you might have gone the wrong direction is if they're cutting you off constantly. If they're constantly cutting you off, that means you're probably rambling a little bit too long, Or on the flip side, they might constantly say to a response that you have, hey, tell us a little bit more about that. That means that you're not giving enough. So these are the subtle things that if you're not paying attention to, you might not pick up. And if you hear ever this phrase, know that you have gone very, very wrong. And it's now, remember, we're a family show. I've heard some podcasts do that a couple of times. And that means that you're probably getting censored in post-production.
Yeah, and it could be around something important that you said, and they have to end up taking it all out because of that not suitable for work content. Like I said, that should be apparently obvious to you as you're setting up being the guest at the beginning of the show. But if you slipped up or if that hasn't been discussed for whatever reason, just make sure that you understand what's going on. Maybe take the time to restate what you said, except for cleanly or whatever is the case, to make sure that you stay within the bounds that has been presented to you for the podcast. After the show, make sure that you express your appreciation. Now, I just do this every day just because of its human niceness, just to say, thank you very much for doing this for me. Thank you very much for being a part of my life. Thank you very much for being all the hard work that you've done, that sort of thing. So express your appreciation. And this is kind of tough because I've been involved in a couple of guest appearances that really didn't go all that well just because they were inexperienced podcasters that I was podcasting with. And if that's the case, express your appreciation anyway, because they have gone out of their way to have you on their show. And this is just niceness, you to them. You want to present yourself in the nicest way as possible to make sure that other people see that you are somebody that's approachable for guesting on their show. So this is something that is just not nice to do, but also might open the doors for you eventually. Make sure you thank whoever is involved. And this is a natural thing. Like when people win contests for us on Better Podcasting, I always send a letter, and part of that letter is saying, I thank you for listening to our show. So it's not just guesting on a show. It's just everything in general. And then communicate any follow-up that you need. Like if they need your track, make sure that you understand what format it needs to be in, where it needs to go, what information you need to pass along for them to get the track, or whatever is needed. Like if they need some reference documents or links, make sure that they receive those. And then once the show was posted, if you're comfortable with it, make sure you promote it, because this is an appearance that you have done. And make sure that you promote the fact that you have been on the show, because your audience, your sphere of influence might want to hear you on somebody else's show, and they're not going to know about it unless you promote it. Likewise, if somebody's on your show, you want them to do the same thing. So you scratch my back, I scratch your back, that sort of thing. But if you don't promote it to your audience, they're not going to know you were there. And maybe you said something that's really important that you've never said on your own show. They might want to hear that.
Of course, you should probably have previewed it before you post it, because for all you know, you could be a victim of editing. So I always encourage everybody to listen before you share. And also, if you have been a victim of editing, you should probably communicate that to people. So there you go. That's our two cents on how to be a guest on another podcast. If you've got something that you want to say, please do get in touch with us through a variety of different ways. You can reach us at BetterPod on Twitter. You can find us at facebook.com/betterpodcasting, and go ahead and head on over to betterpodcasting.com.
Welcome to this week's Better Podcasting Download.
The IAB, we've spoken about them before, right? The International Association of Broadcasters, the IAB.
I thought that was the International Association of Burritos. I don't want to be a part of this download anymore.
Oh, burritos. We're doing this through dinner time. I'm hungry. Burritos.
Breakfast?
That's good too. So what are we talking about at breakfast? We talking eggs? We talking waffles? We talking Timbits? It's Timbits, right?
Continue.
Okay. So the IAB, they released this personal prime time study results. And this was something that came about on how people consume media in their lives. It was an 81 slide study that was presented. And I took a look through this, And I came up with seven key messages that came out of this prime time, personal prime time study. So the seven key messages are as follows. Number one, people spend a lot of time on social media. To that, I say, duh, but they actually break it down into day parts. So what is a day part? It's like a section of the day, like early morning, morning, late morning, noon. So it's a distinct period of like 2 to 4 hours that you would consider like a hobbit eating time. Like you have breakfast, you have second breakfast, you have brunch, you have lunch. You know, it's that time period during the day, like the 17 time parts. So the day parts, and people spend a lot of time on social media in all of the day parts. That's what basically what the study said. And like I said, duh to that, but it's important to know, because as a podcaster, you want to know where you want to communicate to your audience. And social media is an important part. Now, it doesn't say specifics on social media. It's like everybody's on Twitter at 10:02 and at 10:35 a.m. in the morning Eastern time, everybody's on Facebook. It doesn't say that. It just basically says everybody's on social media a lot. And then another thing it says is people listen to music a lot. And to that, I say, duh, because yes, music is an important part of life, especially in the digital age. If you want to hear all about maybe the streaming services on music, go listen to the latest episode of The Digital Soup. And that is episode number 64. They do a great job of breaking down where social or where music streaming services are right now and maybe what the future is of that. So pay attention to that because it does affect podcasting. The third key message that I got out of this study that is applicable towards hobby podcaster is people generally watch TV in the evening on regular TVs. To that, I say, that is interesting. Why is that interesting? Because more and more people are watching and consuming TV shows on other devices. Now, while the study does go into like computer screens or mobile devices, largely, though, people are watching TV shows on big TV screens in the evenings. And to that, I say it's interesting, but again, I say duh to that because that is just how things have always been. People have time to sit down and watch long form content at that time in the day. Plus they are at home where their media centers are or their big TVs. So again, duh. So number four, people check for news all over the place and they check at different parts of the day, but not necessarily all day long. So basically, you have one shot with your news. If you're doing a news podcast or a news stream, you have one shot to catch people throughout the day, and that's generally it. But you do have one shot per day. People keep coming back for that news day in and day out. That's important for a podcaster to know. Number five out of seven, by the way, these are the seven main takeaways that I took out of this IAB study. People check weather in the morning. To that, I say, duh. Because that's when it's important for you to check for the weather. I don't even know why this is part of the story other than it is part of news, but I just thought it was kind of funny to watch. Like it's like 90% of people, I don't know, remember the exact percentage, but it's like 90% of the people check weather in the morning and then it goes down to like 5% for the rest of the day.
I don't know. Sometimes at dinner time, I'm sitting there and I go, I wonder what the weather's like going to be like today at dinner time.
Well, that is true for you because you're worried about landslides, floods, and hurricanes.
Not true. Now, you mentioned briefly, though, that people generally check the weather in the morning. What about when people listen to podcasts?
People listen to podcasts, and it's at a lower level than everything else right now because, you know, podcasts isn't as mainstream as other media, but people listen to podcasts all day long. It doesn't matter when. So all day long. It could be in the morning, could be in the afternoon, could be during their commute, could be where they're working out. People tend to listen to podcasts throughout the day. So you're not hitting people at one specific time. At one point in time, I had heard people listen to podcasts during their commute, and commute is 22 minutes long. So therefore, your average commute is 22 minutes long. So therefore, you need to make a 22-minute podcast and it needs to be available before the morning commute every day. I don't think so. I think that if you release at a consistent time, people know when to check for it. So that's good, but you don't have to release like right before people go out in the morning, because people listen to podcasts throughout the day. And here's the other important part is people listen to podcasts largely on mobile devices. To that, I kind of say duh, because we talked about it before on this show. But if you haven't heard that statistic before, people are listening to podcasts primarily not through a website, not through a desktop device, not through their computer for the most part. For the most part, it is through a mobile device. So make sure that your podcast isn't prevented from going to that mobile device for being too big. For instance, a lot of mobile data plans say it has to be under 100 megabits. Otherwise, it won't download it. And you have to be in Wi-Fi to do that. So if you're mobile and you're running around and you want to download the next show, make sure it's under 100 megabits. Otherwise, it won't be able to download it. So those are the seven key takeaways. People spend a lot of time on social media. They listen to a lot of music. They generally watch TV on regular TVs at night. They check news all day long, but generally once. And they check weather once in the morning. They listen to podcasts all day long, and they listen to on mobile devices. Those are the big takeaways. And as a hobby podcaster, what this means for you, make sure, and we've talked about this before, Stephen, make sure your podcast is mobile device friendly, and make sure you're promoting on social media. And if you have long form video content or even short form video content, because they went into like the YouTube videos as well, in the evening is the big consumption area for that. So make sure your show is available for that consumption time.
It's quite interesting when these documents come out, and I do think they're worth a peruse. I think they might give you a little bit of insight as a hobbyist. You can build your own little list of the key messages that you see and how they apply to you. So I do encourage people to check it out. If you want to check out the full PDF, as SP mentioned, it's quite long. It's www.geeks.link/IAB primetime is where you can find that. But yeah, there's always something in these documents. Well, while you may not be a marketing podcast marketing your podcast, you will usually find something that will help you shape things a certain direction, or maybe help you appeal a little bit more to a certain type of audience that you might want to appeal to. So definitely worth checking out. I will say this, that SP's, I think, key seven messages, and yeah, it was absolutely him that made these seven key messages that he took away. I think he did a really good job and did a great job of pinpointing what you as a hobbyist probably need to know.
Indeed. And as I stated at the very beginning of the show, this is the beginning of the annual statistics being dropped, like the Edison research. We talked about it the last couple of years. That has been dropped. So I haven't had a chance to take a look at that, but that is coming in a future episode of Better Podcasting. So if you like the statistics, in order to craft your show a certain way to try to get more listeners, this is important. But I think creating good content is your primary responsibility. So make sure you're doing that first, and then pay attention to these like statistics and industry style stuff second.
And as soon as the International Association of Burritos release their metrics, we will make a download for that as well.
What about the International Association of Breakfasts?
That too. It gives us lots of content. So let's go ahead and move into the Podback, where we might touch on your listening experiences. Let's start off with one of my favorite polls that we've run in a while. This one here came out from just actually a little bit of a back and forth conversation SP and I had last week. And by back and forth, I mean that SP said, "Steven, you need to listen to what I say." And I said, "Yes, sir."
When have you ever called me sir?
Never. First time. Yeah. That's the first time. What it was is about smart speakers. There's been a bit of an uprise, as you might have seen, with smart speakers and possible podcast integration. Libsyn's been doing an awesome job by beta testing, or betaing, however you want to call it, some podcasts with the Amazon Voice Assistant that is spelled A-L-E-X-A, and we're not going to say it, how there's a skill coming for podcasts. And so we thought, well, let's ask the audience, what do people think about potential podcast skills on their smart speakers? So we said, as a podcast listener, if you have/had a smart speaker, do/would you prefer to install an extension or skill for each? Option one was individual podcast. Option two was podcast network. Option three was podcatcher, such as Beyond Pod. Or option four was directory, for example, iTunes. And yes, we did use iTunes for the reason that people would understand it better than podcasts. So we, and plus there's a character limit on Twitter. So we did absolutely use that incorrectly. It was not surprising feedback, but what the result was that we had in last place was a tie between Per Podcast Network and Per Podcatcher at 15%. And then in the runner-up spot, we had Per Individual Podcast with 23%. And then a resounding 47% said Per Directory. And I think that makes sense if you look at the way that people actually use podcast apps. A lot of times they just want to go in and search, and those searches are banking on the directories. You look at Apple Podcasts, Apple iTunes, whatever you want to call it, and that's what it is. That's what people want to search by. So I'm not super surprised. I am a little bit surprised, though, that our audience said Per Individual Podcast higher than Per Podcatcher, but maybe people didn't know what Beyond Pod was. I don't know.
We tried just to come up with a generic app that people would know as a podcatcher on their mobile device. And that's a good question. I don't know if people caught on to that as well. Jeremy T. Dennis over at the Transmissions Podcast, he responded with a tweet to the poll, and he said, "Nope, I rarely listen to podcasts on my Dot. If I do, it's as a Bluetooth speaker for my phone. If a skill could sync playback position with my phone, I might reconsider it, though." So that is from Jeremy. Now, this poll is skewed towards podcast producers. And we already know that podcast listeners are a minority, just as the IAB statistics just presented themselves with the primetime study. Podcast listeners are a smaller part of the market. They're growing, but a smaller part of the market than people that watch TV shows. I will contend that perhaps giving people the ability to actually consume podcasts through a method that's easily available to them might actually increase listenership long time, basically expanding the bubble on the audience availability. I don't know. I'm just saying that could be a possibility. So I am interested in this. I almost said the word. I'm interested in this assistant device skill that will be able to have podcasts on it and what it means. I will liken it to the ability to put podcasts on Spotify. Spotify now, according to Libsyn's stats, which you can listen to on the feed, they are now squarely the number two place to listen to podcasts other than Apple Podcasts or iTunes. I will always call it iTunes because that is the desktop availability for it. But Apple wants us to say Apple Podcasts because, as the IAB study that we just talked about said, more and more people are actually listening to podcasts on mobile devices. So for Apple, that is Apple Podcasts app versus iTunes. In either case, more and more people are going to be accessing information in other means. And if you could get in the mainstream media, such as Spotify or in a personal device, I think we're all going to actually benefit from that. But we will see. That's just my take on it. And we will see where it goes in the future.
I gotta say, for me personally, I would fall into the directory camp myself because I don't really want to go enable one skill per podcast that I listen to. I'd rather just listen to something that's going to deal with many of them. I would be okay with Podcatcher as well. Obviously, that's where we're starting out, and I applaud Libsyn for doing that because that's getting at least podcasts in an interactive manner on to the Amazon Alexa devices. I just personally don't want to have to put a skill for every single podcast, because if I go and I subscribe on my phone, now I have to go and see if they have a skill on my Amazon device. I'd rather just have it per directory, or even if it was something like Libsyn put out their own, that's going to cover a plethora of podcasts, and I'm probably going to have a pretty good hit rate if I want to subscribe to one of them. So I would like to see something a little bit bigger picture, just because I don't want to have one skill per thing. There's some radio stations locally that do that. I don't like that. I will instead put on the skill that actually does several of them.
We could go on and on and on for hours about the conversation we had. I will just leave it with one last thing. I don't know if the search engine optimization of just saying like a keyword that is involved in your podcast skill on these devices, or maybe your title of your podcast, I don't know if that will pop it up to the high end of the search, of the vocal search. because digital searching on a screen is different than an audio search. And most of these devices are audio only. I know Amazon has the show. What is it? The show with the screen on it.
Yeah.
It has, which you can see a couple of options, but audio, you're like one option, two option. And then generally I'm done. I don't want to hear any more options I don't want to actually hear them. I might read them, but I'm not going to hear them. I'm like, okay, on to the next thing. Maybe I'm impatient. I don't know. So we'll see if this makes any sense SEO wise, having an individual app or a general app, like a central station, somehow like a Spotify or even Amazon itself having something. I don't know. Or Google, because they have one, or now Apple. I'm never going to get an Apple Home because it's way too much money for me to have in my house.
Plus, but you don't want to wreck your furniture also.
Yeah, it's a little reference to the ring of white that it leaves around wood furniture.
In any case, by the way, all back to the topic at hand, it is awesome that podcasts are getting on to these devices one way or another. It might not be where we end up in the long run. It might be. I'm just happy to see podcasts getting on to these devices.
Yep. So moving on into the next feedback we had, Mr. Ferris tweeted us, here's how y'all set up your game.
And what was that a reference to, SP? Yeah, it was a very, very revealing dress-ish type thing that apparently our audience wants us to start wearing. So we do have a video show at www.betterpodcasting.com. And right now we're dressed fairly conservative, but in the future, if enough people want it, maybe, you know, maybe we'll get that deep V-neck from SP.
Maybe, perhaps. And Ferris, thank you for retweeting Brody Lancaster's tweet on that. That really made my day.
Also, in response to last week's episode, we had Mike Howard say great topics. So thank you very much for that, Mike.
That was in regards to last week's episode, episode number 120. Yes, indeed. Thank you very much, Mike. I really enjoyed that feedback, actually, because I know that means a lot. Also, in response to Ferris's tweet, I tweeted, I think I'll try my own podcast speedo line.
I'm telling you, conservative now. Maybe it'll change in the future. We do anything for more listeners and viewers. Moving on to our next poll on that mental image, we asked the following question. We said, here's another short and sweet podcast poll. Only a few hours to respond. Where do you mostly listen to podcasts? We had, with 25% people say at home, with 38%, which was the top vote, we had in my commute, with 25% we had at work/school, and 12% said during other activities. So reading that back, that sounds like that was a little bit more seductive than it was meant to be. That was not what we were meaning by other activities, but again, limited Twitter characters.
I mean, working out, I will listen to podcasts when I work out and in the gym. When I'm at home on the treadmill or the elliptical machine, I'm generally watching some sort of TV. But if I'm on the bike trail, I will be listening to podcasts, which is iffy from a safety perspective, by the way. So make sure you can hear stuff around you. If you're on a bicycle, don't be biking with these big studio monitoring headphones on. That will be totally bad. Totally bad. So make sure you got one ear out and one ear in, which I actually do from time to time because of my ear problem. So, but listening to podcasts is definitely during workout time, a bonus. A lot of people listen to music, but I listen to podcasts. So there was also a question that we asked on the Better Podcasting Twitter account. What is one piece of advice you have for somebody who is about to guest on a podcast for the first time? This was amazing. We got a lot of responses to this. Our buddy Seth over at Geekville Radio responded and said, be polite and courteous. Most shows are pretty laid back.
Which, by the way, was in our document before that. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and drop the curtain here slightly. The document was ready to go a couple days ago, and these all came in afterwards. So, hey, if you see similarities, you know it's good advice. We also had Interrupted Tales say to us, be natural and wear pants. Unless it's remote, then just be natural. Okay.
It could, and if you're not on camera, That's the joke. You don't have to wear pants. So I will argue that maybe having pants is not a bad thing. At Varmint's podcast said I treat going on other people's podcasts like it's a job interview. Show up on time, prepare ahead of time to be what the podcast needs you to be. Know when to speak and when to be quiet and relax. Allow yourself to be nervous. And that will dissipate over time. And just have fun with it.
Good advice all in there. And the thing about the nerves is important because if you allow yourself to be nervous, then hopefully those nerves will subside a little bit. And last thing that you want to come off my name is Steven. My name is Steven. That was the answer to your question, right?
I could totally see you doing that too.
Pretty much every job interview ever, right?
Yeah. Have you ever recording of doing that? Because I would totally like to have that.
What's the next one we had, SV?
At Serious Tech Show, Serious About Tech, tweeted us and said, directly answer the questions. Be courteous to the host. Share the episode. All things that we had in the doc and all great repeatable things. So thank you very much.
We had Matteo Doni say, take your time and don't rush to speak. Think before you speak. This one's awesome because the think before you speak, if you don't do it, you might put your foot in your mouth and represent yourself badly.
Yeah, and that goes with the proper preparation. So if you have notes and talking points, basically, on what you want to actually speak about, the idea of maybe straying from that might not happen as much as you would think. But yes, think before you speak. Make sure. Should I say that to this audience or not? Or should I say this at all or not? That's two things. Remember, you're not editing this show. So maybe you get a chance to have veto power. Maybe not. Just remember that.
What did Evil Zombie have to say, SP?
Evil Zombie said to just talk to the host as if it's a normal conversation and not as if they have a camera pointed at them and to read the show notes beforehand. So again, be prepared, be natural.
Finally, we had At Orbit the Mind say, it seems clunky at times and you start to freak out when there's silence, but realistically, it all sounds fine when the podcast actually drops, LOL. This is only, of course, if somebody edits, but joking aside, because you are on their show, you have those nerves that we talked about. A lot of times, a second of silence feels like 10, so you might be thinking that you're really silent when you're actually not. Plus, there's the wonderful thing of 2x speed that a lot of people listen to.
Or 2.5, or 3, or 4, or 8. Can't imagine listening to anything at 8 speed. I can't remember. I've been trying to speed up some listening in my previews and stuff, and about 1.5 is my maximum. On devices that don't accurately measure that, I can go 2x or 3x, but really in actual time, 1.5 is about all I can comprehend. All great feedback. Thank you, everyone, for responding to our tweet on that and the polls that we talked about earlier. Now, Steven, we also received some emails in the past that we need to catch up on, including one from Johnny Pennington. Are you ready to hear this one?
Oh, it's going to be a long one.
All right. Just warning our listeners. This is SP in full voiceover narration mode. Here we go. Hey, guys. As soon as I got back from the podcast meetup, I grabbed my iPad to see if I would be able to tune into my favorite podcast. And behold, there it was. The raw version in all its glory, just waiting for my consumption. As always, well, mostly always, I was not to be disappointed. Another great show. My biggest disappointment was that I was not able in real time to dog you guys with my emails during your actual production. Curses! Although you both seem just slightly a little sadder, no doubt knowing that your number one fan, me, was not viewing live, you guys still held it together and managed a great show. Now that you know that I have actually seen it, you can now either leave the raw version up or take it down. I officially give you my permission. It's nice to be officially given permission by Johnny, by the way. Mm-hmm. I realize that you probably would wait for days upon days wondering, should we leave the raw version up or should we take it down? We don't know if Johnny has seen it yet, That's the main reason for this email, to ease your conscience and give you peace of mind by taking that stress off your plate. No need to thank me. I know that you guys would do the same for me. I do have a request, though. The audio clip you played from Adam after the show officially ended, I hope that will stay up in the end of your edited show. What a great and valued tribute to you guys and your show. The same feelings that I have and have mentioned in different correspondences to both of you in the past about comedy and entertainment element of your program is, for me, one of the most endearing parts of the show. Please keep that clip up. You could tell that it was very heartfelt on Adam's part. I also believe that it would make a great YouTube promo video for Better Podcasting. Perhaps a short written intro with somebody at the same time the writing appears, read this narration. Why should anyone tune into Better Podcasting? Well, this is what one person had to say. Then play the clip along with your reactions to his words as you did post-show. Or a narration, something along those lines. I said tune in instead of listener or viewer to be all-inclusive of how your audience receives your show. Anyhow, this old man needs to get to bed. Again, just thought or two for your consideration. Johnny Pennington.
Johnny, thanks so much again for your, as usual, very detailed email. Obviously, we appreciate your feedback. One of the reasons I wanted to actually read out this feedback in specific was to hit on 2 points. Number one was the raw edited version. On this show here, we often do end up leaving the raw edited version on our YouTube channel, but not always. Now, one thing that I like to say is that everybody makes mistakes, and that's one of the reasons why we like to leave the raw version on there until we post the full version, is because then people can see those and hopefully learn a little bit from that. But on the other side of things, what I wanted to point out with this here was Johnny's reaction to the clip that we played at the end of the show last week just shows that you never know what in your show is going to make a connection with your listener. He obviously connected with that clip and maybe our reaction to it and took the time to send such a detailed email. And this is a wonderful example on how you never know what little piece of nugget that you put in there is going to connect with your listener. And this is why sending feedback to shows you listen to and soliciting for feedback is a great idea, because people can tell you what connects with them and what doesn't. So Johnny, thank you so much for that.
That feedback, by the way, was read on Odd Dad Out, episode 94, by Adam Higgins. And Adam, once again, thank you very much for saying that. Adam, by the way, is going to be another guest, as we were, on the Sunshine Summit 2018. So if you want to check out more of Adam, and he just didn't review our show, he reviewed all the shows that are going to be on the Sunshine Summit. So go check his podcasts out, and you can get his heartfelt reviews of all the shows and then listen to their shows over on the Sunshine Summit. And it's just going to be an amazing thing. So Adam, thank you very much for that feedback. And thank you very much for your feedback for all the shows that are participating in the Sunshine Summit. We really appreciate that.
And finally, what we have is something that we said we would do if it ended up happening. And guess what? One listener delivered. We've had a few weeks that we had to put this off just because we've had some shows that we haven't had a chance to fit this in. But I will continue making SP read because we made the dedication on here. And we had somebody who had entered our microphone giveaway with a certain style of feedback. SP? Take it away in your best hipster beatnik voice.
Greetings, Better Podcasting. Emailing just before the cutoff. Trying to kick other contestants' buttocks. Can't shut this runoff of poetry slam. An attempt at a home run that's mighty and grand. When man, the truth is, I'm often too scared to swing. Creating something and daring to dream. But now I'm picking up steam, which seems to mean it's time for podcasting. See, the truth of it is, my 2017 favorite would be the moment when, quavering, I first heard the podcast. I savor it. Chatting just like good neighbors sit. Sharing passion with the world, enabling it. My dream? I used to think I would just table it, but now I'm laboring. Many thanks, and do take care, Gabe.
Oh, that was awesome when we got it. And yeah, everybody went into the hat. So unfortunately, it was random. But I got to say, A for creativity. Absolutely. And Gabe, thanks for reaching out. We do know that you're one of the newer listeners to the show or viewers. And we do really appreciate you reaching out and putting such effort into that. Plus, we got the bonus that SP actually got to read out a poetry slam. He slammed that poetry.
I might have slightly put it in the basket, but it wasn't a slam by any means. Don't make me do that again, people. Thanks, Gabe.
Awesome. So thanks to everybody who wrote us. And if you do want to get in touch with us at all, please do feel free to write us at any of the ways we mentioned. Just head on over to betterpodcasting.com. And while you're over there, check out the rest of the Gunna Geek Network. The Gunna Geek Network has a plethora of podcasts, including the awesome Game Life Balance US. In episode 48 of Game Life Balance US, Yoshi's Island, when optional content determines a game's fun, we have the team over at Game Life Balance talk a little bit about a Super Nintendo classic game. You should check that out at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. John and Cody over at Game Life Balance US, if you've got a Super Nintendo or a Super Nintendo Classic, they've been running through a whole bunch of the Super Nintendo Classic games.
It's always fun over in the Gunna Geek Network, and I love talking about gaming, especially all these games that I'm just not able to play just because I don't have time or have the dexterity to do, because I'm out flying drones, people. I'm doing real stuff. I think I might be stalking some people. We'll see.
Well, on that awkward note, for episode 121 of Better Podcasting, I'm Stephen John Drew. I'm not a stalker. When SP gets arrested, I'll move on to another show. Have no fear.
And I'm SP saying you guys are safe because my drones are all broken right now. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Better Podcasting. We want to hear from you. You can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. If you like the show, please consider giving us a 5-star review in iTunes. We encourage you to check out all of the other geeky podcasts available at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. This has been a Gunna Geek production. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.